Okay, Bruchim Abayim, gentlemen. Before I begin, I would like to start with a shout-out to Shaul Cohen. May he live and be well. This idea actually was Shaul's idea. He approached me on the Hagim, and he said that he thought he had a good idea to do some form of dial-in shiur so that when people leave work, they could hear a shiur on the way. The idea evolved that eventually we realized there's so many different times. So essentially, we'll pre-record it in Be'ezat Hashem every day. We'll begin anew. Of course, like I said, to keep it somewhat interactive, I would love if you emailed me any of the questions that you had or something, an idea that you wanted to add in the following day. I will try to incorporate that into our discussion. The halachot I'd like to begin with is the halachot of Hadlakat Nerot. This is going to be in the Yalkut Yosef. If you want to be able to review the halachot, we'll be reading out of the Yalkut Yosef, and eventually you can review them on your own, or you can follow along if that's easier. The siman is Resh Samach Gimel, which is also obviously the siman of the Shulchan Aruch itself, and in the Hebrew edition it's on Kuf Lamed Bet. He begins Mitzvah Midivrei Sofrim Lahadik Ner Barev Shabbat. It's a mitzvah of a rabbinic enactment, not actually a mitzvah from Deoraita, but a mitzvah from the Rabbanan, to light the candles every Shabbat. It would seem that this is a general consensus of all the poskim. However, there's great discussion in regard to who is actually hayav to light the candles. Is it a mitzvah only the Rabbanan, or is it a mitzvah Deoraita? The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, he says, "Chayav lahadlik haner ulvarech kederech shu mevarech b'chol mitzvot shehem midurei sofrim." In essence, also saying that the mitzvah of hadlakat nerot is a mitzvah that the rabbis instituted, as opposed to a mitzvah that came directly from the Torah. The Gemara also seems to say the same, and many of the contemporary poskim are in line with this thinking, even though there are many also from the previous generation that assume that this was a mitzvah from the Deoraita, which was from the pasuk of V'karat ala Shabbat Oneg, that we need to have Oneg Shabbat. The idea behind that was if you had to eat in dark, or you were tripping over things that were left on the floor, you wouldn't be able to enjoy Shabbat. And therefore, the Torah instructed us to have light. However, there is a concept of using Pesukim in the Torah to bolster an argument from the Chachamim. So it does not necessarily mean that that's actually a Deoraita. What it could mean is that it's used only to strengthen the Chachamim's law of Oneg Shabbat, that you're supposed to enjoy Shabbat. And one way to do that is to make sure that you have lights in the house so that you can enjoy the meal that you're going to be eating, as well as make sure that you don't trip, which directly will affect the shalom bayit in the home. The harmony in the home will be affected if a person walks into the house and he trips. He'll be very upset at his wife for not properly cleaning, so therefore the Chachamim wanted us to be able to enjoy Shabbat. And one way to do that was to ensure that the house is illuminated so that we can all function at a higher level. It's important to be very careful in this mitzvah, and to not only just accomplish the mitzvah with the bare minimum, but to try and pursue to get a beautiful candle or more expensive oil or something that's going to make sure that the light that you have, the wicks and everything, is really the ideal situation so that you can have the most beautiful light. The direct benefit to that is the Amar Rav Huna, Haragil b'ner havyan le'banim tamidei chachamim. If you're careful and you are scrupulous about the performance of this mitzvah, your direct benefit is that you'll have children who are Talmidei Chachamim. And the Gemara even relates that there was a Rav Huna, who was one of the great rabbis from the times of the Gemara, who was passing the house of Rabbi Avin. And he would always see that he had beautiful candles. And that was one mitzvah that the Rabbi Avin took very, very seriously, and he performed with great hitlahavut, with great excitement. And he told himself, there's no question to me that this house will produce Talmidei Chachamim. And we all know generations later, or sometime later, years later, he had two sons, Rav Idi Bar Avin and Rav Hiya Bar Avin, who both became very, very well known in the Gemara. and their Torah till today is being studied by thousands of people worldwide. The result of that was that Rav Huna was so confident in the Gemara that says that those who are careful with the way that they choose to light the candles, they'll merit having students who are Talmidei Chachamim. He was able to see the result of that in his own lifetime. Someone was so careful, he was so confident, and eventually he saw he had two children who contributed to the Gemara. This is a very auspicious time for tefillah, and it's worthwhile for a woman at this time to take a few minutes to pray for her children. That God should bless her with children who are scholarly and knowledgeable in the Torah, then they illuminate the world around them with the Torah that they study. When you do this mitzvah, and the reward for this mitzvah is that you merit having children who are Talmidei Chachamim, the tefillah will even be heard, even to a better sense. So you're performing an act which has a result of having sons Talmidei Chachamim. It's a very, very powerful time to also add a tefillah to pray that your children be God-fearing and they go in the way of Hashem and they know Torah and they know mitzvot, and therefore the best time to do that is while you're performing this mitzvah. Meikar hadin, the halacha number two, the basic performance of this mitzvah, dai lahadlik ner echad, it's sufficient to light one candle, lechvod Shabbat, in honor of the Shabbat. So technically, if you want to perform the mitzvah on the most basic level, you just have to light one candle. As long as you have light in the home, you accomplish this mitzvah, mikol makom. However, minhagenu lahadlik v'pachot bet nerot. The minhag is to light a minimum of two candles, ahad keneged zachor v'ahad keneged shamor. One to commemorate the positive commandments of remembering Shabbat, v'ahad keneged shamor, and one to include the negative commandments of protecting the Shabbat and making sure that you don't transgress any of the commandments of the Shabbat. So since we have two psukim, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat HaKadosho, and a pasuk of Shamor et HaShabbat, that you're supposed to protect and watch over the Shabbat, we light two candles, one to represent each one of those two. V'chol ha-marbeh b'nerot l'chvod Shabbat, erez ne-mishubach. If somebody chooses to add and light even more than two candles, she's blessed. V'yesh ha-no'agot l'hadlik shiv'a nerot, oyoter. Some people have the custom to light seven, some even more. V'yesh madlikim nerot kimispar nefashot shel b'nei ha-bayit. I've seen this in many homes. People light, and I believe my sister-in-law, who's of Moroccan custom, very proud Moroccan husband, and she adds a candle for each child that she has. I believe that when she travels, I remember we asked her, does she need six candles when she came to our house? And she said no. So the minhag is only when she's in her own home does she light one candle corresponding to each one of her children, and of course two for Shabbat. So if she has four kids, for example, she's going to light six candles because she has two for Shabbat and one for each kid. And as Hashem blesses her with more children, the Yalkut Yosef adds, Mukshunolad Yeled, when you have more children, Musifin Odner, you're going to add another candle. Therefore, in this way, as you go forward, you'll notice that those houses, you'll come one year and there's a certain amount of candles, and then the next year suddenly there's an added candle, and that would mean that they were blessed with a child. So they have one corresponding to each child. But of course, most customs is just to have the two candles, ahad keneged zachor, ahad keneged shamor, and that's sufficient. If you couldn't ascertain two candles and you only had one, and you want to know, is it even worth it to light? He says, Mi'ikar adin, dai lahadlik ner ahad. Technically, you only have to be lighting one. Lighting two is an added benefit. Therefore, if you only had one, don't just forego the opportunity. Certainly light one, and you accomplish the mitzvah by all means. Halacha gimal. Isha shenahaga lahadlik b'erev Shabbat zayin nerot. A woman that generally had the custom to light seven. She should never light less unless she is matir neder. So I'll just summarize this halacha because it doesn't necessarily pertain to everybody. But basically, if she's constantly lighting seven week in, week out, and she decides, you know what, it's just too much for me to prepare seven candles, I can't do it, I only want to light two, she's not allowed unless she does hatara nedarim. Therefore, He says if someone intends to light seven, but they're unsure if they'll actually be able to continue this practice, from the onset they should say that bli neder, I'm going to light seven going forward, but if I can't by any, you know, by for whatever reason it's just too difficult for me, I am going to stop and I'm going to abolish that practice. She need not do hatara nedarim, because from the onset and the acceptance of that mitzvah, she already preempted that in the event that she's not able to continue doing this going forward, she will stop. However, he does add, if this woman is traveling or she's in the hospital, she just had a baby and she wants to light candles for Shabbat, she doesn't have to ask for seven candles, even though normally she does light seven candles. It would be fine if she just asks for the two that is regular, even though generally she's used to, because when she's outside of her comfort zone and she doesn't have the access of lighting seven, necessarily she can only light two, and she doesn't have to be matir neder, his point is. You could just light two, and the next week when you're home again, continue lighting seven. It's not considered going against your commitment because the circumstances are out of the norm. Halakha dalet, afilo ani, she'en lo male echol, even a poor person that is so poor, he doesn't even have what to eat, haya b'mitzvat hadlakat hanerot, he has to light the candles. But if he doesn't have the money, where should he get it from? V'sho'el ala petachim v'lokeach shemen or ner umadlik. He should go and knock on people's doors and collect funds so that he can perform this mitzvah. Sheze b'chal oneg shabbat, because this is part of oneg shabbat. V'em en yado maseget leknot ner l'shabbat. V'gam yayin l'kiddush. What happens if he can only afford one? Either wine or a candle. Ner shabbat kodem. The mitzvah of lighting is so important that he should not buy the grape juice. He should preferably buy the wine. He should always buy wine and not grape juice, but he should not buy the wine or grape juice. He should preferably buy the candle and do the mitzvah of hadakat ner of Shabbat. V'yikadesh al hapat. And there's a halacha that if somebody does not have grape juice, he is permitted to make kiddush on bread. Therefore, if someone is too poor to be able to purchase both, he should certainly purchase the candle for the Ner Shabbat, and then he'll figure out a way to make Kiddush by doing it on the bread itself. Misha enlo el Ner had bilvad, somebody who only has one Ner. Here he's discussing the person is on Hanukkah, and he needs to be able to light both candles. And he has the mitzvah of Shabbat, Friday night. It's a regular Friday night. He also has the mitzvah of Hanukkah, and he wants to know which one comes first. Yadlik hanel haHanukkah im berachot. He should actually light the candle of Hanukkah, with the berachot of Hanukkah. And then, because we live in a modern society and we have electricity, he should turn on the lights and make a beracha actually on the lights, so that he has that lighting of the electricity by turning on those lights. That will constitute his ner of Shabbat, and he could even make a beracha on that. V'em en lo or hashmal, if he doesn't have electricity, v'yesh lo rak ner ahad, yesh mi she'omer shebizman hazeh shebalav hachim adlikin b'bayit, yadli kaneh letzorach ner Hanukkah. Since there's always light in the home or wherever you're going to be, preferably, you should light the candle for the mitzvah of Hanukkah. And he should also have in mind that it should serve for the v'ya'alelo gam l'shalom beto, for the shalom bayit shelo yitkal b'kiseh kodame v'yesh holkim. Some people say he can't. If he has two, so he shouldn't say, hey, I want to write two candles, one keneged Zachor, one keneged Shamor, and then I'm left with nothing for Hanukkah. He should light one for Shabbat and one for Hanukkah. Even if it's considered the second or third or fourth night of Hanukkah, and he would like to light the sufficient amount for the appropriate night, still being that he already lit, he does not have to light again. Okay, Be'ezat Hashem will continue tomorrow, or Monday, I should say, rather, from Halacha Vav.